Welcome to the happy hour. That's right. 602 in the desert, 502 back in San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matthew Scraby. Padres get another victory today, this time at Camelback Ranch. No, not against the Dodgers, against the White Sox. Nonetheless, some good performances. Matt Waldron was good. Johnny Brito was good. You had Brett Sullivan on the offensive end swing the bat. Jacob Marcy had some good ABs. It was another win for the Padres. Speaking of Padres, Manny Machado, Joe Musgrove, Jackson Merrill, they joined Ben and Woods this morning. I haven't heard the Machado sound, but everybody I've talked to said he was awesome. So we're going to play you some of that sound, and we'll start with the elbow because obviously that is the thing that is he's dealing with at this point. He was asked what he thought of the progression and if he liked how his elbow was progressing.
I mean, I hope, yeah. I mean, it's such a tricky slope. You know, I've been down this path already with two knee surgeries, so I kind of know that's going to be you're about to hit a roadblock, you know, and sometimes you do, and it's okay. You know, it's part of the process, and you know, yeah. I mean, if there's good days, there's bad days, just like any normal day. You know, it's kind of tough to tell in spring training how you really feel. It's just you're just sore every day.
Yeah, we see it. We you know, says, well, he's not going to be throwing it all, and then we get there the first day, and you're throwing the ball across the diamond.
Yeah.
He looks okay to me.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's easy to do that. Yeah. Now it's like I've told people, it's a matter of going out there and doing it for 162 games.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I could do it for 162 games, then I'm going to be out there playing every day, and so I can't be 100% sure that I could do that for 160 games, then I probably won't be. You know, it's tough. When I get on that field and I step on the field, I'm going to be on there for a long period of time. I'm not going to be, oh, well, you can start the season. You know, you can play here.
You hated
can play
the
there.
End of last year.
Like,
did, yeah.
You know, you're just in between
two
much.
Two days on,
like,
one day off, DH. You hated that.
No, let's play. I'm going to play.
You've earned that because you've proven it, that's what you love to do is post. And everybody talks about it. Everybody. MLB Network talks about it. Adam Jones talks about it. Posting is something that's very important for you. It's a goal of yours every single year. I've talked to your wife about the treatments that you went through for your ankle. It's admirable, certainly. Do you? Because I know the one year you're like, they need me. Fernando was out. They need me. If it takes 6 hours to get the ankle right, I got to go out there and play on one leg if I have to. Do you still feel that pressure to do that for this season?
I mean, it's still early. You know, at that point, it was middle of the season. We're like right in the cusp. I mean, we're leading up to spring, All-Star break. Like, those are sacrifices you got to make, you know. You know, at that point, it's like, all right, let me try to get through August where Toddy's going to come back.
Right.
And, you know, you're just trying to make it.
Yeah, Manny, he's looked good in camp so far. He's going to play this slow, as he should. And right now, it's February 28th. I can't stress that enough. We don't need this man playing every game right now. We just need him healthy when the season comes around. If he is able to take the field at third base on March 21st, that's a win for the Padres, for sure. Even if at this point, it'd be hard to see him not DHing. He's going to be DHing at the very least, which I still think is a win. But there's a chance he's going to be at third base. So his swing has looked good, too. It's loud noises off his bat.
Loud noises.
Obviously, you know, there's a different vibe. Manny was asked about that, this particular vibe for this spring training so far.
I mean, I think it's just too much talk.
I think we
used to just like, hey, let's do this. And, you know, we really wouldn't get it done.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, it's about getting it done.
Yeah.
Whether it looks ugly or looks bad, it looks great. Whatever it is, it's about getting it done, right? So, you know, we're going to do a better job this year with that. And I think it comes from the group that we have in here. We're all kind of just more united. I think we're all communicating a lot better. The communication has been great with Schulte, you know, between the players has been awesome. You know, I think we're really trending in the right direction and changing this ball club around and making it for the better.
Now, to be fair, they didn't have a chance to do any of this, you know, communicating, because everybody was gone in different places last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, spring training may suck for the players. Like, no one really wants to be here after that second week. But it does kind of force you guys, everybody, to, you know, to be together more. You know what I'm saying? And you get to know one another a little bit more. Not to say that these guys don't know each other, but there were some new pieces that were added to the equation last year. And, you know, I think it would have been nice for them to do that. But they're able to do it this year. You know, the part where Manny was talking about there being a lot of talk. You know, I think that's the – when I talk about the little things, I think that is what Mike Shield is highlighting, and his attention to detail is a little bit different, I think, in terms of what is the expectation. Again, Victor Rodriguez there, the Padres' new hitting coach. Like, I was out there today, and it was like – I was out there watching Jake and Ha-Sung take BP. And I think the round before them was Capisano, Bogarts. They were the two guys hitting before. And when they each time, every round, it was like throwing out a situation. I think Jake had extra innings.
We need that.
And Jake's response was, are we up or are we down? Are we home or are we away? Because that changes your approach and you in that particular situation. You know what I'm saying? And so they're working on those things, like detailed.
Now let's dispel rumors. Just because Bo Mel didn't maybe do that doesn't mean he's a bad manager, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, that goes without saying. That had nothing to do with. I'm just saying that's
what my thought was.
And that doesn't mean that doesn't mean they didn't do it last year. I noticed it because I was standing there right there. I don't recall that, and that's been every day so far. That's not just today. So, it's a point of emphasis.
I see
that you know, when he said we just talked. I mean, I think we all kind of felt like, oh, it's gonna happen. Like this roster's too talented. I know I said that on multiple occasions.
Yeah,
and it, you know, that talk is cheap, I guess, right?
Talk is definitely cheap. It really is. The other thing that I'm not reading between the lines, but I know how some people may have heard what Manny said about this year's different than last year. I feel like this year is going to be different because of what they went through last year. And just by hearing from Jay Cronenworth and how he has reflected on everything over the offseason, I don't want people to think because Manny said that last year's team was not good or they weren't together. Well, just because he says that doesn't mean all that.
First of all, you're wasting your time in terms of trying to worry about what everybody else is feeling.
Well, that's my life. I waste my time on unnecessary things.
Because ultimately, you know, things are different. I just named a few things that start the year different, right? There's no WBC. It makes me find some wood in this house before I say this next thing.
You can't find any wood?
Here we go.
There we go.
You know, Joe hasn't dropped an anvil on his foot. At this point, right?
There's a
bunch of different things that are different about this spring training than there was in 2023. Aside, you know, there's a new manager. Every manager is going to have a different way of going about things. Mike Shields' background, that man ran the Cardinals. He helped. He was like a fixture in the Cardinals minor league system. He was content being a minor league manager, and then it turned into him being a big league manager. So, like, there's a certain way that he goes about things that's going to be different than the way Bo Mel. Whether you believe that's a good or a bad thing, either way, you know, you got new hitting coach. You know, two new hitting coaches. You know, so there's just it. And to your point, Scrape, without the things that a lot of the guys went through last year, they may not have been in this place that they are now without having gone through any of that. So, you know, I think it all works itself out for and happens for a reason. So
I always love when I hear the players talking about other players or managers, because you always find out their nickname every single time. Schulte. Yeah, Schulte. I love it. Everybody has a nickname.
That's definitely a baseballism. We got time for one more before we go to break. And this is probably one that would be out of the TMZ area of, and he was asked how the players addressed the team's inconsistent performance last year.
Wait a second. Sorry about that.
Or did you play that one, the past one?
I don't know, because now I'm looking. There's two clips named the same thing. Okay. So actually, the vibe at spring. Okay, so the last.
I thought that last one didn't sound like a vibe answer.
Yeah. So they're labeled differently. This is a me problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, that whole time I'm listening to that last answer.
Me
I'm
too.
Like, I was like, that didn't really answer the question.
Right, yeah, me too. I was feeling the same way.
So that last one was the inconsistent performance.
Correct. Year. And this one is going to be spring training vibe, I'm hoping. Let's see. It matches up. I think so.
Everybody cross your fingers.
It's been great. It's been awesome. It's been, you know, obviously with the passing of Peter and the news that we had this offseason and the offseason we've had looking for a manager, you know, just hasn't really been really our year, I will say, you know, from not having a good year and the passing, new manager, another manager, just new changes. But spring feels great. You know, I think it's been great so far. We feel like we left a lot on the table last year, and I think we're hungrier than ever. You know, I think a lot of the guys in there, you know, kind of felt like we let a lot of people down, and you know, this year we don't want to do that, and that's been the mentality in there. It's let's just go out there, you know, enjoy ourselves, play, have fun, you know, do what we can out there every single day to, you know, give the fans a show, whether it's a 10-run-0 game or, you know, or two-run game, and we will be better at those 2-run-1 games.
Absolutely.
So I just want to stop, and Chris was not in Arizona when that sniffle happened, so no one can worry about that.
That wasn't Chris, is what
it
you're
wasn't
saying.
Chris in that, with that sniffle. He's very self-conscious about his breathing ever since we got onto the chat. So
I've had a few people ask me about to breathe.
What did they ask you?
I don't know if I should. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I think Mudcat asked me. He's like, is Chris a heavy nose breather?
The craziest part is that I believe I've been telling Chris since the day we started this show.
It's literally been about 4 years.
And every once in a while, like when I'm really out of options, and I've told him so many times, I'll look at Tony and I'll be like, Tony, you got to help me out, dude. you got to tell him. Like, please, someone tell him. And then I go to Adam and I'm like, Adam, can you please tell him? He's like, I don't know what I can tell him. He can't just stop breathing.
You know, the best part is when Scraby has, he's asked like, you know, 3 or 4 times, hasn't changed. I don't know if you guys notice, sometimes Chris will be saying something and all of a sudden his voice will be like piped in and like raised up. That's because Scraby he'll plot him down.
Yeah.
And he'll forget to turn it back up before Chris starts talking. It's
I have been accused in the past of not caring about the quality of the show, and that is far from the truth, because I am running the board like I'm wrestling with the board all day.
And now that you guys are on, you guys can see us on YouTube, you'll notice it'll happen. It happens often where as soon as Chris starts talking, he can't hear himself, so he immediately goes to his left to turn the knob up so he can hear himself.
Like, you think it's off.
This is Scraby who hasn't blotted down.
And he doesn't really, like, make any – he doesn't have any issues with it because
he doesn't.
He doesn't want to breathe into the mic as well, but he continues to breathe. When he logged on today and we were, like, about to record the Big Five, I wish I had this recorded, and I'm sorry, Chris, I'm admitting this to, or I'm telling everybody this, but he got on and all I heard was I was like, did you just run up the stairs? What is happening? What is happening right now?
Let's go to break because we're definitely late at this point.
We'll figure it out.
More Quinn and Chris on the way. Here's some traffic.
Quinn and Chris, back at you. Happy hour time right now. Tony Gwynn Jr. in Arizona. Matt Scraby here in San Diego. Chris Ello in Albuquerque, or the Kirk Cork. Kirk or Cork, Tony? I'm not sure. I think it might be the Cork.
Cork.
The Cork, okay. He is there. He'll be back tomorrow in studio.
Wait, no. It's Kirk, I'm sorry.
The Kirk, okay.
The Kirk.
My Cork. My parents' new dog is named Corky, and so I call him Cork Man all the time, so I got a little confused.
That ain't it.
Thanks. MLB The Show coming out here pretty soon. I believe the release date is March 17th. So I just bought a PS5 at the end of last year, and I'm going to buy the game, and I'm going to be playing some listeners online. But Tony, are you going to be buying the newest version of the game?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can't you just like update the rosters from last year? And
I don't want to update the rosters. I want a real 2024 rosters. I don't want to update it. I want whatever new features on MLB The Show. You telling me in the break there's some slow mo action?
Yeah, I want to retweet this slow mo action at Matt Scraby, because it says from MLB at MLB posted this, and it's like a new look at an MLB The Show feature where Derek Jeter's trying to track down a ball in the 5.5 hole, and you like have to do more controls. You can't just field it and throw it to first. You have to make sure you catch the ball, and then you have to transfer the ball, and then you have to throw the ball. And so it's three separate motions now. I just reposted it, but I'm really excited. I haven't played a baseball game.
It doesn't sound like you're excited. It sounds like you're complaining right now.
I'm not complaining. I just don't know I can accomplish this feat that Derek Jeter is doing in this, so I'm going to have to put in a lot of practice.
this feat.
I've told everyone, for a long time I was a PS3 guy because I didn't have a new system, and for a long time I was an MLB 2K10 guy, and one of my favorite things to do, because Tony was on the Dodgers, was he on the Dodgers? Not 2K10, you were on the Padres, 2K9 I think it was, but I would always love and try to strike out Tony first.
Me or my dad?
You. On the Dodgers. But you know what? Your video game guy knew.
It wasn't 9, though. I was with the Padres in 09.
When were you with the Dodgers?
I was with the Dodgers in 11, 12, and 13.
All right, well, you were on the Dodgers in this game, so I guess I don't know exactly what it was, but maybe.
Hey, did you see that Tiger Woods is designing the Trout course? Did you see this?
The Trout course?
Yeah, Tiger Woods was recently in New Jersey working on the design of Mike Trout's new golf course, Trout National.
This
dude's got a golf course?
I didn't know that, but that's amazing.
18-hole course, clubhouse, restaurant, and hotel opening in 2025. Trout is, he's wearing the logo. The logo's a golf tee, a flag, and stitching that looks like a baseball. This fool has his own golf course. That's some player stuff right there.
That really is. I mean, golf courses, I've heard, are not the best investments in the world because you lose a lot of money on golf courses. But
oh, I didn't know that.
It's
not that dope then.
No, you have to pay for all the water. You have to pay for the employees. You have to pay for everything. But then you got Tiger Woods designing it. People are going to go play that golf course because it's the Mike Trout Tiger Woods golf course. My problem with Mike Trout, though, is why does he never use... Like, why is there no fish in his logo? His last name is Trout. Why does it need to be...
I can't deal with you two. I can't.
It needs to be something like a fish, because it's Mike Trout. It's not like you can just gloss over the name.
Scraby, you got to knock it off, man. Stop.
No, I'm being dead serious.
I know you are. That's what scares me about you sometimes, is that you are being dead serious.
March 9th is the early release for MLB The Show, if we're all going to buy that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. I'm on
Someone
that.
Said, Chance says you need to buy a $200 controller for the MLB The Show game. It's awesome.
What? Oh, no. I can't do that.
No. The controllers are already super expensive. Yeah,
they're already pretty expensive as it is?
I don't know what that could be. It says a regular PS controller comes with...
He's talking about, okay, the PS5 controllers are a little different. I'm an Xbox guy. I'm thinking Xbox.
Ah, there you go. So you're an iPhone guy and you're an Xbox guy, just living on the fringes over there. Oh, you only don't need to buy it. All right, I'm going to let the chat catch up before I start reading things from the chat.
Only, you know, only the real OGs play Xbox. I mean,
I did have an Xbox when I was younger, but when I was looking to buy the PS5 or as I was looking to buy the Xbox, a lot of people were complaining about the Xbox.
My son has a PS5, so I can, if I really wanted to convert, I could just go play his, but I don't want to convert. Xbox for life.
I mean, that's fine. I'm honestly okay with Xbox, but a lot of people complain about it, but you have no issues with it, huh?
Nope.
Well, I've been playing too much Call of Duty, so I need to get off of that Call of Duty stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you need. Yeah, we're gonna get you on a date, man.
Oh my gosh! I told Chris earlier that my nieces, when I was watching them over the weekend, they got into my romantic life and were like, "Why don't you have a girlfriend ever? Why are you not married? Why don't you have any kids?"
You know they have this conversation with your sister.
Oh, I know that they do. Why is Uncle Matt not married? Uncle Eric has a kid and he's younger than Uncle Matt. Why is that happening?
They're not even thinking about you. They're just thinking about cousins. That's what they want. They don't care nothing about how you know? Because I come from a big family. So, I mean,
they're like, well, at least when you have your kids, we're going to be old enough to babysit. And I was like, that's right. That's right. You can babysit.
That's hilarious.
It's a little nerve-wracking being questioned by an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old about why you're still alone
because they
at
don't
the age
have
of 38.
Any, they don't have any feel. Like, they just ask you, they get straight to it. There's no uncomfortableness about them. They're going to just get right to the point.
I said, I haven't really met the right person to have a kid yet. And they're like, well, go and meet that person. And I was like, thanks, kids. I've just been trying to do that for a long time.
What's the saying? Kids say the darndest things.
That's a great show.
Where it happens.
All right. When we get back, Nick Pecora of Arizona Central joined Chris and I earlier. He gave us a preview on the Diamondbacks. And also, he broke down the owner's comments about moving. And I think the owner may be regretting his comments. So, Nick Pecora on the other side on 97.3 The Fan. Segment of Gwynn and Chris, and then the Scraby Chronicles takes over the airwaves. The best show from 6 to 7 p.m. in San Diego.
Oh, listen to you.
I believe that's the only show, a sports show, on from 6 to 7 p.m. in San Diego. So that's why I said it. We are about to hear from Nick Pecora of the Arizona Republic. He gave us a little preview on the Diamondbacks, also talked about their owner and the mess that he may have stepped in.
But, yeah, before we get to that, that's a bad play. It's a bad play by him.
The owner.
I can tell you what. The folks in Arizona have no problem being like, bye. Like, we will not shed a tear if you leave. They have already lost, what, the was it the Coyotes? They still here?
I think that they are, but they're like playing at Arizona State or something.
Yeah, I mean, they ain't building no stadium, dog. So you better be ready to come out of pocket or leave, one of the two.
Yeah, they're probably going to end up. I don't know.
First of all, the stadium isn't that old. They just didn't take care of it.
That's basically what he said.
But, I mean, that's it.
Yeah, the owner.
Oh, that's what Nick said.
He said that he was trying to be really nice about it, but he was, because you know you still have an owner that is. Owns the team that you're covering, so you don't want to say anything too bad. Yeah. But he was kind of like, I think he's rethinking these comments that he made. They kind of maybe were at the wrong time.
Yeah, I bet. And you know, the other thing I found interesting was Boris's comments. I don't know if you saw the press conference with him and Cody Bellinger.
I saw briefly.
He's calling out teams. He just a quote from him. He said, because Cody was asked, you know, how closely the offseason played out compared to what he expected. And so he kind of looked at Boris, and Boris said, he said, there are variables. We have some irregularity going on in this current market. And he called out some teams. He said, we have close to 11 teams that are spending less than they did a year ago in light of the fact we have record revenue in baseball. Now, I don't know who is that directed at, but nonetheless, he is calling out some of the teams that ain't spending any money.
It sounds like he's a little Nervous isn't a word, but he's a little bit defensive in his comments right now.
I mean, he might have to be. His top four guys are still free agents.
Well, maybe you should rethink. I'm not saying that he's negotiating wrong. I'm just saying that maybe sometimes your guys aren't worth what you think.
Your boy Bellinger ended up with 3 years for 80.
All right.
That's all I'm
saying. With an opt-out after one, if he wants to.
With opt-out after one and two.
Yeah, one and two.
Jeez. One and two.
So the Cubs are going to do this again next year, and then they're going to do it again the next year. Stressful.
Maybe. Maybe they don't. Maybe he says, you know what? I kind of want that $30 million next year. I'm going to opt in.
Well, then they don't have to worry about it, obviously.
Yeah, so
All right. Nick Pecoro is from the Arizona Republic, and he joined Chris and I earlier. First, you're going to get your traffic report.
Always very nice to this program. Joining us once again from the Arizona Republic, Nick Pecoro, here on 97.3 The Fan. Nick, we appreciate the time. How are you today?
Hey, doing all right. How you guys?
We're doing really well, Nick. I'm curious, you know, with what the Diamondbacks accomplished last postseason, how has that changed, if at all, the vibe at spring training this year as opposed to last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely changed the vibe. I mean, these guys are confident and, you know, kind of know what they're capable of doing when things come together. It was sort of funny listening to them, you know, the first day, especially talking about how, you know, they're trying to, you know, kind of take some of the confidence that they gained and you know, what they know about themselves from last season into this year. But then at the same time, they're trying to talk about how, you know, these two things can be true, but it's just funny. They're just like, oh, last year doesn't mean anything. We have to start all over. You know, it's like they're trying to toe this line, you know. So, you know, they know that they're also just an 84 win team, you know. So that's sort of a thing I think everybody's kind of, you know, got to keep in mind that, like, even though they're better on paper than they were, probably even that team that was in the World Series, I like this group better. I still think there's a lot for them to prove that you know, that wasn't just some little one-off, you know, hot streak at the right time.
We're talking to Nick Pecoro here of the Arizona Republic, and it was Corbin Carroll last year. He didn't really, like, burst onto the scene because people already knew what he was all about, but I guess I'm doing a little bit of fantasy baseball scouting right now. What is the ceiling going to be for this guy? Because he seems like he can do it all, and I was even reading the other day that they're predicting him to have the most steals in Major League Baseball. Is he just going to continue to keep getting better each year?
Probably, possibly, I don't know. It's hard to say because it was so good last year, right? 25 homers, 50-something, 280-something. Like, that's a heck of a year for a guy in his prime, let alone a guy in his first full season in the big leagues. I will say, though, you know, you look at the way that his season unfolded and you look at the few, there were only a few, but you look at the few, like, kind of rough patches that he went through, and it felt like they were all on the heels of some health issues. He crashed into the fence in Colorado in, like, I don't know, late April, early May, and he stopped running for a few weeks, and his numbers were a little bit down. He grabbed at his shoulder right around the All-Star break a couple times and was dealing with some soreness there, and his numbers seemed to kind of, you know, just be a little bit more pedestrian for a few weeks. And once he got over those things, he was back to his old self. So it does kind of lend, you know, the possibility of, like, okay, maybe if he can stay fully healthy for 6 months, this guy's got a whole nother gear to tap into. And, I mean, he's such a good athlete, and you watch the consistency and the way that he's able to adjust the different types of pitching. You know, there's no reason to doubt him is basically what I kind of concluded.
Nick, you kind of touched on it. You mentioned it. You know, the Diamondbacks, you know, when all said and done, they had an amazing run in the postseason, but they won only 84 games last year. And as I was pointing out before you came on, that's only two more than the Padres won. But the Padres felt like it was the most disappointing season ever, you know. So the Diamondbacks are smart to think that they're going to have to improve. What areas did they attack in the offseason, and where are they looking to get a little better, and where are they hoping for some more production?
Yeah, well, they added a starting pitcher in Eduardo Rodriguez, signing him away from the Tigers. They added to their lineup as well. You know, brought in Eugenio Suarez to play third base. They brought in Jock Peterson and Randall Grichuk to kind of platoon and get some outfield at bats, platoon at DH and get some outfield at bats as well. And they brought back Lourdes Gurriel in the outfield, which is kind of a rare, possibly the only instance I can come up with in club history, as amazing as this is, where a big name, relatively big name free agent hits the market and comes back to the Diamondbacks. But if the guy hits the market, they're almost always gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like their offseason. It was a good offseason. I feel like people would be talking a lot more about it if the Dodgers hadn't spent $1 billion. you know, look, they're also going to be banking, I think, on some of these young guys kind of continuing to develop. Not so much Corbin, but Alec Thomas and Brandon Pfaadt and Gabriel Moreno or had their moments in the postseason. And kind of showed that maybe there's a little more in the tank than what they put together in the regular season. Kind of hoping that those guys kind of put it together and have a full strong year. I mean, Brandon Pfaadt could be a mid rotation type guy. Alec Thomas has got crazy athleticism. Could be a Gold Glove. I mean, and he's got some power in there too, center fielder. And then Moreno could be one of the best catchers in baseball. So I think they're hoping guys like that step forward.
Talking to Nick Pecoro here of the Arizona Republic on 97.3 The Fan, and you talked about the Diamondbacks offseason, but here in San Diego, I like getting the opinions of people that are close to the National League West, and did it surprise you a little bit that the Padres didn't make as many moves in free agency as people may have thought they were going to?
Well, I guess as somebody that kind of follows it, like it sort of seemed like they were telegraphing that late in the year that maybe they were going to have to be shedding some payroll and there were going to be some tough decisions coming forward. I mean, I don't know. It sure seemed unsustainable from afar, the level of spending that Peter Seidler was authorizing for, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, whatever it was. It'll be interesting to see if they've done enough. I guess my perspective on that club was, they just kind of had one of those years where kind of everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong in a lot of ways. I couldn't understand how they couldn't win in extra innings. And, you know, if a handful of those things go differently, I mean, that team absolutely is going to be in the playoffs ahead of Arizona, right? I mean, you mentioned it, like only a couple of wins separated them. And really the Diamondbacks didn't get in until the second to last day of the regular season. So, I don't know. It's interesting. I feel like even with the Padres subtracting talent, I mean, they're clearly not as good of a team on paper this year as it showed last year. So I think that's a team that could probably surprise some people if they're not expecting it.
Nick, let me ask you a little bit about the back end of the bullpen. And the reason I ask is because both those arms, Paul Sewald and Kevin Ginkle, have San Diego ties. Paul Sewald played at the University of San Diego, and Kevin Ginkle pitched high school ball out in Lakeside at El Capitan High School. Ginkle was especially impressive in the postseason. I mean, this guy, he looked like he turned into a wipeout, lights-out eighth-inning guy. Sewald was brilliant, I guess, until the World Series. I think he had a hiccup or two there, if I recall. But talk a little bit about this Arizona bullpen and those two guys in particular.
Yeah, I don't know which guy to start with. I guess I'll start with Sewald because it kind of felt like his acquisition was a key to turning everything around for those guys. It just sort of, I hear it all the time, like you get the guy in the right role and it bumps everybody else into their proper spots. And it just kind of felt like everything clicked after that. They just didn't have that reliable ninth inning guy. And then Ginkle's been, man, I mean, really starting at the beginning of the 2022 season in the minors, he's been awesome. And he was really good, especially in the second half last year, it seemed like. He did just emerge. I mean, that breaking ball that he has, it's like a slurve, it's a nasty pitch. And you're right. I mean, he was probably the best relief pitcher in all of baseball in the postseason. I don't think that they would have been anywhere near the World Series if not for those two guys. And I think it's probably fair to wonder just, you know, whether the workload in October, the added innings or the less rest in the you know, off season because of the extra months, how that's going to impact them as they look to, you know, kind of keep doing what they were doing last year.
Yeah, they're really good in October for sure. Nick, I wanted to ask one last thing before we let you go. I heard a little rumbling, and I don't know how loud it is there in Arizona. Maybe it's louder than I think it is, that ownership might be looking at trying to get a new ballpark. There was even maybe some comments that were made by ownership that, you know what, if we don't get a new ballpark here, there might be some other places that would love to have a team and can provide us with a new ballpark. I wouldn't imagine those comments were met with a lot of happiness in the Phoenix area. Where does that stand, or is that just too early in the stages to be concerned about it?
Well, they still got like 4 years left on their lease here. They're trying to get help from you know, the state or the city, you know, to renovate Chase Field, which you look around baseball, a lot of other towns have, or a lot of other clubs have been able to get their cities or states to pitch in and help with those kinds of costs. And they're just frustrated they can't get it done. I think it was probably just poor choice of words by the owner, kind of, I guess, just kind of, you know, saying whatever, you know, what he was thinking. Even, I don't think he was necessarily trying to be threatening. I think he was just, you know, look, time could run out here in Phoenix if we can't get it done. It's like, you shouldn't say that. I think he probably realizes that. And it was especially poor, you know, because there's so much goodwill around this team and so much excitement around this team after last year. And, you know, we wound up everybody writing their stories about that instead of about, you know, this ownership group that just, you know, is going to carry a record payroll into this season and committed a lot of money to this team after a big year. And yeah, I mean, I would be shocked if they ever left town. I just think they've been trying to get funding, and haven't been able to get it for a while now.
Yeah, sounds familiar. We know about all of that
yes,
with our
does.
Football team for sure. Hey, Nick, thanks so much for the time. Always good catching up with you. Enjoy the rest of spring, and I'm sure we'll see you out at Petco when you're in town. Thanks for your help.
Yeah, guys, for sure. Thanks for having me on.
That was Nick Pecoro of the Arizona Republic joining Chris and I earlier, giving us a little bit of a preview on the Diamondbacks. And, you know, Nick Pecoro is one of those guys that is always very good to us. Anytime I text him, he's right there to fill us in on everything. And he even made time for us last year during the World Series. So that was very nice of him during that time. We just have a couple minutes left. And Tony, I wanted to see if you, I don't think that you've had a chance to look over these NFLPA grades. But
I got to see some of them. I got to see the overall grades.
Okay.
I didn't break down to the specific areas in which a lot of these teams failed.
Well, Chris is very happy with his team because his team came out on top, number one in the NFL, which is surprising. Because
that's funny, because he doesn't think very highly of their owner, but yet the ownership is putting some pretty good grades up, according to the players and families.
Stephen Ross got the number one owner in the league. You know what's crazy, though? The Chiefs. They are ranked number 31.
Yeah.
They have terrible facilities. The players apparently do not like Clark Hunt because he's the least willing owner to invest in facilities. But Andy Reid's the best head coach. It does not make any sense to me why you wouldn't want to support this team.
It makes sense. Well, it doesn't make sense why you wouldn't want to support it. It makes sense that they are successful, right? Because Mr. Hunt, you don't see him heavily. I don't see him very involved with very much. I just see him come pick up his trophy every year. Other than that, I don't hear from them very much. They got the best coach. They seem to have a really good GM. They all work well together. Now, the facilities, you know, not nice. It certainly hasn't stopped anything, though.
It really hasn't.
It's good enough for them to keep winning, and so it's kind of tough to make the case to Mr. Hunt that, hey, we need these facilities. Like, he's looking at this thing as being last 31st out of 32 teams, and is like, huh. That's funny. I've got a bunch of championships that say otherwise.
Yeah, so I'm not going to invest in my facilities. So, I'm going to take that money.
Sorry, Chief players. Sorry, Chiefs family. And you know what? Now that I think about it, when you roll up, because, you know, the Royals play right across. I mean, they're like side by side. I mean, it's a whole stadium. I imagine the guts ain't that great at this point.
No, you're probably right. Real quick, Atlanta Falcons, the players.
Strength coach needs to step his game up.
No, specific request. Some feel that more toilets are needed and ventilation in the bathroom itself is poor.
Them boys be blowing that bad boy
up. I can't even imagine an NFL team with poor ventilation. That sounds like a nightmare.
Just lingering.
Oh, my goodness. Also, apparently the Bengals don't have great water pressure in their showers at their own stadium. I don't get it.
They don't have it well at the baseball stadium, too. I remember that very well.
The Reds. Wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. That's it for today. Tony, I don't know if you're going to be able to join us tomorrow because you're going to be way out there calling the Padres game, but you will be back with us on Friday. And Chris will be back with me tomorrow. So Scraby Show is up next. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, everyone.
Have a good show, buddy.
Thank you very much. Have a great night, Tony. I'll talk to you guys in 5 minutes.
Always very nice to this program. Joining us once again from the Arizona Republic, Nick Pecoro, here on 97.3 The Fan. Nick, we appreciate the time. How are you today?
Hey, doing all right. How you guys?
We're doing really well, Nick. I'm curious, you know, with what the Diamondbacks accomplished last postseason, how has that changed, if at all, the vibe at spring training this year as opposed to last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely changed the vibe. I mean, these guys are confident and, you know, kind of know what they're capable of doing when things come together. It was sort of funny listening to them, you know, the first day, especially talking about how, you know, they're trying to, you know, kind of take some of the confidence that they gained and, you know, what they know about themselves from last season into this year. But then at the same time, they're trying to talk about how, you know, these two things can be true, but it's just funny. They're just like, oh, last year doesn't mean anything. We have to start all over. You know, it's like, like they're trying to toe this line, you know? So, you know, they know that they're also just an 84 win team, you know? So that's sort of a thing I think everybody's kind of, you know, got to keep in mind that, like, even though they're better on paper, than they were probably even that team that was in the World Series, I like this group better. I still think there's a lot for them to prove that, you know, that wasn't just some little one-off, you know, hot streak at the right time.
We're talking to Nick Pecoro here of the Arizona Republic, and it was Corbin Carroll last year. He didn't really, like, burst onto the scene because people already knew what he was all about, but I guess I'm doing a little bit of fantasy baseball scouting right now. What is the ceiling going to be for this guy? Because he seems like he can do it all, and I was even reading the other day that they're predicting him to have the most steals in Major League Baseball. Is he just going to continue to keep getting better each year?
Probably, possibly, I don't know. It's hard to say because it was so good last year, right? 25 homers, 50-something, 280-something. Like, that's a heck of a year for a guy in his prime, let alone a guy in his first full season in the big leagues. I will say, though, you know, you look at the way that his season unfolded and you look at the few, there were only a few, but you look at the few, like, kind of rough patches that he went through, and it felt like they were all on the heels of some health issues. He crashed into the fence in Colorado in, like, I don't know, late April, early May, and he stopped running for a few weeks, and his numbers were a little bit down. He grabbed at his shoulder right around the All-Star break a couple times and was dealing with some soreness there, and his numbers seemed to kind of, you know, just be a little bit more pedestrian for a few weeks. And once he got over those things, he was back to his old self. So it does kind of lend, you know, the possibility of, like, okay, maybe if he can stay fully healthy for 6 months, this guy's got a whole nother gear to tap into. And, I mean, he's such a good athlete, and you watch the consistency and the way that he's able to adjust the different types of pitching. You know, there's no reason to doubt him is basically what I've kind of concluded.
Nick, you kind of touched on it. You mentioned it. You know, the Diamondbacks, you know, when all said and done, they had an amazing run in the postseason, but they won only 84 games last year. And as I was pointing out before you came on, that's only two more than the Padres won. But the Padres felt like it was the most disappointing season ever, you know. So the Diamondbacks are smart to think that they're going to have to improve. What areas did they attack in the offseason, and where are they looking to get a little better, and where are they hoping for some more production?
Yeah, well, they added a starting pitcher in Eduardo Rodriguez, signing him away from the Tigers. They added to their lineup as well. You know, they brought in Eugenio Suarez to play third base. They brought in Jock Peterson and Randall Grichuk to kind of platoon and get some outfield at bats, platoon at DH and get some outfield at bats as well. And they brought back Lourdes Gurriel in the outfield, which is kind of a rare, possibly the only instance I can come up with in club history, as amazing as this is, where a big name, relatively big name free agent hits the market and comes back to the Diamondbacks. But if the guy hits the market, they're almost always gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like their offseason. It was a good offseason. I feel like people would be talking a lot more about it if the Dodgers hadn't spent $1 billion. you know, look, they're also going to be banking, I think, on some of these young guys kind of continuing to develop. Not so much Corbin, but Alec Thomas and Brandon Pfaadt and Gabriel Moreno or had their moments in the postseason. And kind of showed that you know, that maybe there's a little more in the tank than what they put together in the regular season. Kind of hoping that those guys kind of put it together and have a full strong year. I mean, Brandon Pfaadt could be a mid rotation type guy. Alec Thomas has got, you know, crazy athleticism, could be a Gold Glove. I mean, and he's got some power in there too, center fielder, and then Moreno could be one of the best catchers in baseball. So I think they're hoping guys like that step forward.
Talking to Nick Pecoro here of the Arizona Republic on 97.3 The Fan, and you talked about the Diamondbacks offseason, but here in San Diego, I like getting the opinions of people that are close to the National League West, and did it surprise you a little bit that the Padres didn't make as many moves in free agency as people may have thought they were going to?
Well, I guess as somebody that kind of follows it, like it's sort of seemed like they were telegraphing that late in the year that maybe they were going to have to be shedding some payroll and there were going to be some tough decisions coming forward. I mean, I don't know. It sure seemed unsustainable from afar, the level of spending that Peter Seidler was authorizing for, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, whatever it was. It'll be interesting to see if they've done enough. I mean, I guess my perspective on that club was, they just kind of had one of those years where kind of everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong in a lot of ways. You know, I couldn't understand how they couldn't win in extra innings. And, you know, if a handful of those things go differently, I mean, that team absolutely is going to be in the playoffs ahead of Arizona, right? I mean, you mentioned it, like only a couple of wins separated them. And really the Diamondbacks didn't get in until the second to last day of the regular season. So, I don't know. It's interesting. I feel like even with the Padres subtracting talent, I mean, they're clearly not as good of a team on paper this year as it showed last year. So I think that's a team that could probably surprise some people if they're not expecting it.
Nick, let me ask you a little bit about the back end of the bullpen. And the reason I ask is because both those arms, Paul Sewald and Kevin Ginkle, have San Diego ties. Paul Sewald played at the University of San Diego, and Kevin Ginkle pitched high school ball out in Lakeside at El Capitan High School. Ginkle was especially impressive in the postseason. I mean, this guy, he looked like he turned into a wipeout, lights-out eighth-inning guy. Sewald was brilliant, I guess, until the World Series. I think he had a hiccup or two there, if I recall. But talk a little bit about this Arizona bullpen and those two guys in particular.
Yeah, I don't know which guy to start with. I guess I'll start with Sewald because it kind of felt like his acquisition was a key to turning everything around for those guys. It just sort of, I hear it all the time, like you get the guy in the right role and it bumps everybody else into their proper spots. And it just kind of felt like everything clicked after that. They just didn't have that reliable ninth inning guy. And then Ginkle's been, man, I mean, really starting at the beginning of the 2022 season in the minors, he's been awesome. And he was really good, especially in the second half last year, it seemed like. He did just emerge. I mean, that breaking ball that he has, it's like a slurve, it's a nasty pitch. And you're right. I mean, he was probably the best relief pitcher in all of baseball in the postseason. You know, I don't think that they would have been anywhere near the World Series if not for those two guys. And I think it's probably fair to wonder just, you know, whether the workload in October, the, you know, the added innings or the, you know, less rest in the, you know, off season because of the extra months, how that's going to impact them as they look to, you know, kind of keep doing what they were doing last year.
Yeah, they're really good in October for sure. Nick, I wanted to ask one last thing before we let you go. I heard a little rumbling, and I don't know how loud it is there in Arizona. Maybe it's louder than I think it is, that ownership might be looking at trying to get a new ballpark. There was even maybe some comments that were made by ownership that, you know what, if we don't get a new ballpark here, there might be some other places that would love to have a team and can provide us with a new ballpark. I wouldn't imagine those comments were met with a lot of happiness in the Phoenix area. Where does that stand, or is that just too early in the stages to be concerned about it?
Well, they've still got like 4 years left on their lease here. They're trying to get help from you know, the state or the city, you know, to renovate Chase Field, which you look around baseball, a lot of other towns or a lot of other clubs have been able to get their cities or states to pitch in and help with those kinds of costs. And they're just frustrated they can't get it done. I think it was probably just poor choice of words by the owner, saying what he was thinking. I don't think he was necessarily trying to be threatening. I think he was just, you know, look, time could run out here in Phoenix if we can't get it done. It's like, you shouldn't say that. I think he probably realizes that. And it was especially poor, you know, because there's so much goodwill around this team and so much excitement around this team after last year. And, you know, we wound up everybody writing their stories about that instead of about, you know, this ownership group that just, you know, is going to carry a record payroll into this season and committed a lot of money to this team after a big year. And yeah, I mean, I would be shocked if they ever left town. I just think they've been trying to get funding, and haven't been able to get it for a while now.
Yeah, sounds familiar. We know about all of that with our football team for sure. Hey, Nick, thanks so much for the time. Always good catching up with you. Enjoy the rest of spring, and I'm sure we'll see you out at Petco when you're in town. Thanks for your help.
Yeah, guys, for sure. Thanks for having me on.
That was Nick Pecoro of the Arizona Republic joining Chris and I earlier, giving us a little bit of a preview on the Diamondbacks. And, you know, Nick Pecoro is one of those guys that is always very good to us. Anytime I text him, he's right there to fill us in on everything. And he even made time for us last year during the World Series. So that was very nice of him during that time. We just have a couple minutes left. And Tony, I wanted to see if you, I don't think that you've had a chance to look over these NFLPA grades. But
I got to see some of them. I got to see the overall grades.
Okay.
I didn't break down to the specific areas in which a lot of these teams failed.
Well, Chris is very happy with his team because his team came out on top, number one in the NFL, which is surprising. Because
that's funny because he doesn't think very highly of their owner, but yet the ownership is putting some pretty good grades up according to the players and families.
Stephen Ross got the number one owner in the league. You know what's crazy though? The Chiefs. They are ranked number 31.
Yeah.
They have terrible facilities. The players apparently do not like Clark Hunt because he's the least willing owner to invest in facilities. But Andy Reid's the best head coach. It does not make any sense to me why you wouldn't want to support this team.
It makes sense. Well, it doesn't make sense why you wouldn't want to support it. It makes sense that they are successful, right? Because Mr. Hunt, you don't see him heavily. I don't see him very involved with very much. I just see him come pick up his trophy every year. Other than that, I don't hear from them very much. They got the best coach. They seem to have a really good GM. They all work well together. Now, the facilities, you know, not nice. It certainly hasn't stopped anything, though.
It really hasn't.
It's good enough for them to keep winning, and so it's kind of tough to make the case to Mr. Hunt that, hey, we need these facilities. Like, he's looking at this thing as being last 31st out of 32 teams and is like, huh. That's funny. I've got a bunch of championships that say otherwise.
Yeah, so I'm not going to invest in my facilities. I'm going to take that money.
Sorry, Chief players. Sorry, Chiefs family. And you know what? Now that I think about it, when you roll up, because, you know, the Royals play right across. I mean, they're like side by side. I mean, it's a whole stadium. I imagine the guts ain't that great at this point.
No, you're probably right. Real quick, Atlanta Falcons, the players.
This strength was a, coach needs to step his game up.
No, specific request. Some feel that more toilets are needed and ventilation in the bathroom itself is poor.
Them boys be blowing that bad boy
I can't even imagine an NFL team with poor ventilation. That sounds just, like a nightmare.
Just lingering.
Oh, my goodness. Also, apparently the Bengals don't have great water pressure in their showers at their own stadium. I don't get
it. They don't have it. They don't have it well at the baseball stadium, too. I remember that very well.
The Reds. Wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's it for today. Tony, I don't know if you're going to be able to join us tomorrow because you're going to be way out there calling the Padres game, but you will be back with us on Friday. And Chris will be back with me tomorrow. So Scraby Show is up next. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, everyone.
Have a good show, buddy.
Thank you very much. Have a great night, Tony. I'll talk to you guys in 5 minutes.